Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What up, baby? What a day yesterday, huh?
Yeah, man. Yo. Good morning, Key. Birthday parties? You guys had a lot of birthday parties over the weekend. And anything that I missed last night?
No. We had a legit soccer practice for my three-year-old yesterday. I'm over here like King Richard, man. I'm trying to create the next one.
What was legit about it? They didn't just all huddle in the same circle?
There's still some staring at butterflies. Caterpillars was the hot thing yesterday instead of focusing on the ball. My one-year-old son was trying to walk out there, Key, and I'm just like, look, we need to tighten up. You're going to be out here, man. Like, if you're going to be out here. Just don't be out here falling down all the time.
Were there any words of wisdom that Coach K gave you that you used on your children?
Yes, don't embarrass me. Yes, that's the standard of excellence we have here at the Williams family.
You ever see the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer?
Yes.
Right? Key, you ever see that movie Searching for Bobby Fischer about this young chess prodigy?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
The whole thing was, do the parents want him to live a normal life and be a regular kid? Or is he going to be the next Bobby Fischer where you don't get to, you just have to play chess all day. That's it. Go crazy. Because Bobby Fischer went crazy. He went nuts, legitimately. Like, he was insane. And the parents opt for, you go watch the movie. I don't want to do a spoiler. But, Jay, are you worried at all?
I'm just
that
saying
you are the parents that make the choice to try to ruin the kid's life on the altar of making them a great athlete.
He was insanely genius. Isn't that what Bobby Fischer was? Insanely genius.
He was a great chess player, but he went insane.
I know, yes. Yeah. I was trying to make light of it, Max, on a heavy tip this Tuesday morning
because,
for you.
Because, Key, on that Zoom yesterday, Jay was serious, man. This is a three-year-old kid running around. Keep your head in the game.
Jay had the Benetton sweater on looking like he was on his way to go to the yacht club.
Hey, man, was out there. It doesn't matter in what attire I'm coaching, Key.
Is that what it takes to make a great athlete, for real?
I always got taught that we talk with my daughter about what her failure was. So I'm like, hey, so what was your failure today? Because I want to, in her mind, I want her to change the definition of the word failure. Because I want her to always have attempts. And so I talk about it more and more like, yeah, it's okay. Like, you're going to fail the more things you continue to do. Because you're pushing yourself to do different things. So kind of change the meaning on it.
It's interesting to me, Key, because it's like every parent. The kid's going to grow up to have certain problems because of the parent, right? Like, there's just no way around it. And the only question is, which specific ones?
We're problem solvers, baby. That's what we do.
We solve
problems.
I stay out the way until they get older. Let them run around, have a little fun. Let them chase the butterflies, pick their nose. Let them do all of that. I don't start to get heavily involved until probably 14.
14, you know. Interesting.
So I'm way off.
Interesting. Between
11 years off.
I got to let them be kids, man. I can't throw helicopter dad yet.
So somewhere between the age of 3 and 14, I'm guessing. Something like that.
It started a little bit earlier in my family. That's okay.
Yeah. 8 and a half. All right. speaking of a child who had a lot to live up to, Dag was a multiple-time All-Star and World Series champion. Ken Griffey Jr. will join the show at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Ken Griffey Jr., one of the greatest players I've ever seen, joins the show 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Anyway, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Guys, listen to LeBron James on his exit interview for the season with the Lakers. Obviously, their season's over. No play-in, no nothing. Listen to LeBron on the pros and cons of Russ and AD in the big three.
I think the areas where I saw that we could complement one another is Russ being, the push guard that he is, being able to create tempo, me being the wing threat, getting on a run, and AD being a lob threat. I thought that we could be very successful in that. And also with our length and defensive prowess too, we could be really good. At the end of the day, the reason why we were not very good together, because we wasn't on the damn floor together.
So LeBron blames injury. I think that's legit. They were 11 and 10, just LeBron and AD, when they played together. It's not great, but that's their first 21 games. And as Dave McMenamin makes the point, maybe their next 21, they're a little better. Next 21, a little better. And they'd have been, 7, 8 games over 500. Not setting the world on fire, but they would have been decent, right? They didn't play a lot. That's what LeBron's together, injury.
Yeah.
That's what LeBron's pointing to it. Here's Russell Westbrook, though, on his in his exit interview on his relationship with former head coach Frank Vogel.
I'm not sure what his issue was with me, or I'm not sure why, but I can't really give you an answer why things, we never really connected. Maybe, you know, that's something that he has to answer, but I never, you know, from the get-go was feeling like I was having to, like, try to prove myself to him and my capabilities and what I've been able to do for this game. And it's unfortunate, but it's really not kind of out of my hands.
Right, what he's been able to do for this game. Okay, you just heard LeBron, you just heard Westbrook. LeBron points to injury, but then why is the coach fired, right? Westbrook points to a relationship issue maybe with Vogel. Bottom line is, everyone's there except the coach is fired. Is this a good job? Key, is the Lakers' job a good head coaching job in the NBA?
Of course it's a good head coaching job. I understand what people are worried about, LeBron James' influence on the Lakers' front office, but clearly it's a good job. There's only a handful of these jobs available, and the Lakers is the premier job, and I'll say it, in all of the NBA. Who doesn't want to live in Los Angeles and coach the Lakers? And that's why when it's become available, people line up to get it. Yes, Ty Lue turned it down because at the time they wanted to pick his assistant coaches. And he said, no, I could go do something else. I want to do it differently. So, yeah, it is. And when you look at what LeBron James just said, LeBron James said that this team, injuries caught up to him. But he also mentioned the fact that Westbrook needed the ball in his hands to be the point guard. He would be the wing player, and AD would be the lob player. And then you heard Westbrook, what he said, that him and Frank Vogel couldn't get on the same level on what they wanted to do in terms of him offensively as well as just implementing him into the game plan. He never felt wanted to begin with, and that could be true because coaches are like that.
Key, what the hell are you talking about? The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Oh, okay.
It has one of the poorest cultures in the NBA.
Okay.
You just told me that.
They just won a championship 19 months ago.
They did. They did. And let me tell you what's happened since then. So Ty Lue turns down a job because they want to control who's on his staff. That is a problem. Jason Kidd, a guy who was on.
At the time they did.
But Key, that's still a symptom of the bigger problem, that there are a lot of cooks in this kitchen. You have Rob Pelinka, you have Kurt Rambis sitting inside coaching meetings telling Frank Vogel who his starting lineup should be after this man's won a championship. You have Jason Kidd who decides to turn down the job. You have Monty Williams, the coach of the Phoenix Suns, the best team in the NBA, that says, I don't like this culture, I'm going to turn down a job. You have so many people. You have roster moves being made for a coach who is a defensive-minded coach, and they changed the roster without really even consulting him, losing KCP, losing Alex Caruso. You tell me, when you have Jeannie Buss, who's trying to control things with Rich Paul, you have LeBron James and Rich Paul trying to jockey for position, you have Kurt Rambis, who is sitting inside coaching meetings,
Linda Rambis, who is
consulting Jeannie Buss, you have Rob Pelinka, who is in working his angles, you have Magic Johnson, who's making comments on things here and there. What kind of culture is that? How can you have any autonomy? It seems like Frank Vogel was the last guy to have autonomy. You have Quinn Snyder, who's the head coach of the Utah Jazz, saying, no, I'm less interested, because they fired their coach off a tweet from Woj before they even had a chance to talk to their coach. What kind of culture is this? This is an absolute blank show. That's what this culture is.
It's a winning culture that just won a championship 19 months ago. You mentioned Monte Williams. You know why he didn't take the job? Because they waited too long, and the Phoenix job was there, so he took it. It wasn't that he didn't want the Lakers job. He wasn't going to wait on them to make a decision on who they wanted to hire
in terms of going back.
Telling you, all I'm doing is giving you what I know. I ain't giving you nothing I don't know. I ain't going to come on my show and our show and talk about something that I don't know that's factual. That's all I'm saying. And then in terms of the Rambises and all that, they've been there forever. They ain't going nowhere. We got to get over that part. They're not going anywhere.
Why is Kurt Rambis sitting inside? Key, can you imagine if you were the head coach of an NFL team and a guy who is tapped by one of your owners, who, by the way, was a head coach for your team, had a losing record, decided for 2 years, a losing record, a way below 500 losing record, sat inside your coaching meeting and told you what your starting lineup should look like? Can you imagine how crazy you would be? And then what do you do? Do you go to Jeannie Buss? Do you go to Rob Pelinka? Who do you complain to this about? Whose voice is actually being listened to when you articulate your frustration?
If this conversation is about Frank Vogel being fired, do I think that he was fired unjustifiably? Yes. He shouldn't have been fired. But let's not sit there, Jay, and say that this is not a premier job in the NBA. You cannot sit here and factually say that, because that would be a lie, okay, man. You cannot say that.
888-729-3776. 888-ESPN. We have to continue this conversation on the other side, because people are going to want to weigh in on this. Is the Lakers' job a good job or a bad job in the NBA? Key says a premium job.
We're building.
Jay says a bad job. That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
What do you say?
You get
Max?
To weigh in. I will reveal my opinion on this subject.
The reveal.
On the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Jay, did you actually tell your one-year-old that they were embarrassing you in public? Is this what Coach K taught you?
I don't want you guys to mischaracterize this. So my son's out there. He's trying to compete with my older daughter on the soccer field, and he keeps falling. And I'm like, hey, man, like if you don't get up and you don't get in the game, then you need to be in the game. Don't embarrass our family name out here.
And he looked at you and said, Gaga. Like, he's one. No,
he's just saying, ball. Ball, that's all I can do.
Key, what's the one-year-old supposed to say to Jay?
Nothing. Look at him like he lost his damn mind.
He's crazy. Well, daddy's a little crazy, and that's okay. I mean, mom's a little crazy, too. I mean, both D1 athletes, so... And we have a standard. I have my daughter repeat to herself before she leaves the car. I am an elite athlete. I am an elite athlete. I am an elite athlete. You got to tell yourself. Key, this is the vision board, Key. We got to set up the vision board for these kids.
Yeah, I guess, man, I can't argue with a man that wants to take care of his kids and make sure that they're doing everything that they want to do. There's no question about it. What you want them to do. I just – You know, at two, your daughter's two, right?
She's 3.5, about to turn
three.
Four.
At 3.5 and 1, being a helicopter parent, I mean, I really feel sorry for you.
See, there goes the mischaracterization. I'm not, I'm Key.
A 1-year-old that they're embarrassing you.
I know, I said, don't
1-year olds can't even pick up their legs all the way.
I said, don't you embarrass the family name in a joking like way. But I took all your advice. I stood over on the side. I took the phone call, Key. I'm gonna call.
Do you even realize that one of the reasons that he's probably falling over because his diaper is probably too heavy?
What?
Yes. There may be things inside of his diaper that weighs
exactly.
him down.
His diaper was clean. I don't have him out there running in
Give me that
diapers.
Pinky. You'll get it back.
You don't have him out there running in dirty diapers. You know
he's
what
like
it is?
Tom Brady. Tom Brady never lost his pinky, Dad. I won't lose mine, damn it.
I mean, listen, I'm really not judging, because who knows what it takes to make an elite athlete. I don't, you do. But damn, Jay.
This is stuff that my kids need to hear. We have a standard of excellence at our household, and that's what we live by.
I think the areas where I saw that we could complement one another is Russ being, you know, the push guard that he is, being able to create tempo, me being the wing threat, getting on a run, and AD being a lob threat. I thought the reason why we were not very good together is we wasn't on the damn floor together.
Listen, this was a disappointing Lakers season at every level. Our fans expect more. That's at every facet.
I was asked before the commercial break, what do I think? Is the Lakers head coaching job a good one or a bad one? Key says a premier one. Jay says, no, it's not. It's a blank show. It's a bad one. Okay, what do I think? Well, let me lead up to this. First, let's once again, you heard it on the way, and we're going to play it again. LeBron James, his exit interview after this disaster of a season ended. Listen to LeBron.
I think the areas where I saw that we could complement one another is Russ being, you know, the push guard that he is, being able to create tempo, me being the wing threat, getting on a run, and AD being a lob threat. I thought that we could be very successful in that, and also with our length and defensive prowess too, we could be really good. I mean, at the end of the day, the reason why we were not very good together, because we wasn't on the damn floor together.
Okay, is it a good job or not? Right now, Key, the answer is at this moment, it's a bad job. Yes. At this moment. But that doesn't mean it needs to be a bad job. For the right coach, it could be a great job, but the coach has to make it a great job. And the parallel to me in history, and I get it, Magic was just starting, LeBron is toward the end finish line, I get it. But once upon a time, Magic was the coach killer. Magic was the dude who said, Westhead is not running a kind of offense that is best for this team. He had a vision for the team. And it's Magic Johnson. He's a basketball genius. And guess who's going to win that struggle? Westhead was gone. And look, Pat Riley eventually takes full control, and that was a great thing. That worked. But the reason all that worked is Dr. Jerry Buss, the greatest owner in the history of American team sports, by far the late, great Dr. Buss, was able, he was one of these guys who was able to turn chaos into magic, you know, so to speak. He was able to, like, he built himself up from nothing, dirt poor, to becoming basically a rocket scientist, right? Literally. And then eventually a real estate tycoon who owned the Chrysler building, and eventually he traded that and other stuff for the Los Angeles Lakers. He was able to turn chaos like a once saw a skateboarding movie. I'm trying to remember Z Boys, whatever it was called, Z Town, Dog Town. But the point was, there was one skateboarder who could turn. What's that? Lords of Dogtown. One of the kids could turn like chaos into something beautiful, like a jazz musician or something. Right? That was Dr. Buss. Jeannie's a chip off the old block. She's already won a championship.
Absolutely.
But she's going to have to now create the kind of environment that turns this kind of circus into a situation where the right person can put their hands on it. Key, it's not going to be easy because LeBron, like Magic, is a basketball savant. If he sees the way he wants to play, you should do it that way. But he's 37, not 22, right? But it's a bad job now because of everything that he described.
Well, I mean,
it could be a great one for the right personality.
Max. Right now, today, they just fired the coach yesterday. Of course, it's not a great job today based on what happened this past season that just ended a few days ago. But as a whole, when you're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, think about it. When you're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you're going to tell me that's a bad job? I mean, you, anyone that thinks that don't know basketball. There's no way, Jay. There's no way.
Hey, who is this coach? Because I agree with you, Max. The right coach that would need to come in and raise hell on everybody and say, you know what? I'm not accepting anybody's BS. Here is my standard, and this is what I want. But they have to have the backing of Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss,
and LeBron.
Kurt
Rambis, get him to buy in.
Linda Rambis, and LeBron James to do that. The fact that all those will all be aligned, I find that.
No, you don't need it. You need LeBron and Jeannie.
LeBron James to sign off on whoever the coach is that can make the thing go. He said that Russ was a great point guard who pushed the ball. You play point guard. You know you got to push it with tempo. And you know that Westbrook, based on what LeBron said, can do that. For whatever reason, that's not what Frank Vogel wanted. So on top of the injuries and not buying into the same type of system, they were not going to have success.
Man, Nick Nurse is not taking – if I were Nick Nurse, I wouldn't take this job. Why would I leave Masai Ujiri in the culture in Toronto? Like, the only person I think that would actually – have the clout to have LeBron James's ear will be Greg Popovich, but I wouldn't see him leaving San Antonio to come coach the Lakers.
Why would LeBron want to play for Greg Popovich?
Because he will actually listen to Greg Popovich.
I mean, Greg Popovich is 1,000 years old, Mac. Jay.
Keith, tell me a coach that you think LeBron James would listen to that would garner respect.
Man, you're asking me a tough question now.
I can't even ask basketball experts.
There's a lot here. I think it would have to be a coach that sees things on the floor the way LeBron does. That's the first thing. I'm not sure who that is, but LeBron and that coach, the point is not that person doesn't exist. The point is that you have to find the person who sees the game in a similar way to LeBron. Then that person has to get signed off by Jeannie and Key. Everything else would fall into line after that.
Yeah, as I'm starting to think now that you asked me these questions, Jay, Mark Jackson would be somebody that LeBron James respects and listens to and has a very high basketball IQ that played the position, the same position you did. I would be shocked if they decided to sniff around Mike Brown again. I wouldn't be shocked at it.
Lakers' job will not be good as long as LBJ is there. Let's face it, says Gourmet Chef Kev.
I'm saying Quinn Snyder, who I think is an offensive genius mind, has decided he doesn't want to. Look, you guys also have to understand they fired their head coach with a tweet. Their head coach, who just won a championship 19 months ago, found out he was fired and had to do a presser off a tweet.
All right, people still want to weigh in on this. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Mako. Need a paint job on your car? When life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako. Go to Mako.com today. Can LeBron still push the Lakers over the top?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
I think the areas where I saw that we could complement one another is Russ being, the push guard that he is, being able to create tempo, me being the wing threat, getting on a run, and AD being a lob threat. I thought the reason why we were not very good together, because we wasn't on the damn floor together.
Listen, this was a disappointing Lakers season at every level. Our fans expect more. That's at every facet.
All right.
Woo!
Is it a good job or not? Lakers head coaching job, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Key, J. and Max. Key says, it's a premium job. Jay says, it's a bad job. I say it's a bad job, but for the right coach, it could be the best job. What do you say? John in New Orleans, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Talk to me, John.
Good morning, guys. Key, Jay and Max rarely get you in the mornings, man, but I think they got you this morning, Key. You're a California kid. You're homegrown, so I think you have your heart in the Key, but you got to take your heart out of it and use your brain, Key. It's not a good job. If you're a young coach, you'll get the blame the moment you go on a 4 or 5 game skid. Everybody will say you don't know what you're doing. You got LeBron James or AD. If you're an older coach, like Jay said, you're not going to set yourself up to be in a dumpster fire with the genie buses and the Rambuses, and you got Rich Paul dating every celebrity around the city. It's a mess. I don't think it's a good job right now, T. You got to really – I know you're homegrown. You watch Magic. You watch Kobe. But they don't have those homegrown Laker guys there anymore, T. It's not a good job.
All right.
Tell them, John. Tell them.
I'm not gonna try to talk our listeners into anything like Jay. I know right now that they coming off a losing season, so everybody assume that it's a bad job. A lot of people have disdain for the Lakers in general and LeBron James, so that's just part of it.
Don't try to turn that corner.
And it ain't got nothing to do. It ain't got nothing to do with me being from Los Angeles. It got something to do with me looking at the opportunity and Anthony Davis staying healthy and one of the greatest basketball players ever in LeBron James. And I'm not looking at the way Westbrook played this year and going, oh, my God, he can't play basketball anymore because – toward the lighter part of the year, he started to come alive a little bit, made you see, oh, okay, this may work out the way it's supposed to if they run it back.
Even I think he got some rose-colored glasses on with that one, but I do think it could be potentially good. They got some work to do, but if LeBron and AD are healthy, potentially,
man,
could be good. Rick and Dayton, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
I got the perfect coach for the Lakers. He's right in front of your nose. It's LeBron James. Everybody says he's a coach anyhow, so might as well put him in charge. That way he can take care of his son, too, in a year or two. He can draft him. They can play together. Thanks, guys.
I actually like that idea. I like the idea. It eliminates a big problem for the Lakers. You can have a player coach. Why not?
When LeBron doesn't want to meet with the media after games when he struggles?
That's all part of the package.
Man, y'all giving – look. I understand LeBron is one of the greatest players we've ever seen to play, but this is not the 60s and 50s with Bill Russell, man. Like, look, you do not want LeBron James having that much autonomy.
No, you know what I want him to have? Coach. I want him to have that much accountability.
And I would never have – if I were LeBron James, I would never do that.
I agree. I wouldn't do it if I was –
too much onus on me about everything
Bingo.
That has to be managed in the game.
But key – exactly. Yep. To me, it makes LeBron so accountable. Like, LeBron, you're the greatest basketball genius in the world. I don't say that facetiously. I mean it. He's like a basketball genius, right? You're going to call the shots anyway. Give him the responsibility and make him own it.
No.
If I were LeBron, I wouldn't do it, but I would offer it to him.
Why would you offer that?
What makes you think he wouldn't be a good coach?
That creates more of a train wreck. That becomes more of a reality
show. If it's
a
train wreck, you go get a coach. It's a train wreck now. How much worse is it going to be than 16 games under 500? Like, how much worse could it be?
That's just ridiculous.
17, get it right.
38 years old, you're towards the twilight part of your career where you're trying to chase Jordan championships. Now go coach the team on top of being an all-star MVP player.
I'm baffled at you two that you guys don't think that LeBron James and a healthy AD turns things into a good job.
How do you say a healthy AD with a straight face?
Well, I'll tell you.
Because if he's healthy, he's one of the best players there is.
But
I don't understand.
I'll give you a coaching candidate that I think will be an eventual really good NBA coach. Sam Cassell. Mm. So you're telling me Sam Cassell, Sam I Am, in his first year having an opportunity to coach, has to come into a web of lies and figure out right from the beginning, who do I align myself with? Now, you guys say LeBron James, okay? Okay, so I get myself aligned with LeBron James and Clutch. But also understand the dynamics that come along with that. Because at the trade deadline, Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka decided not to make a move to prove to Clutch and LeBron that, hey, we're actually running this franchise. So how do you balance all those cooks in the kitchen?
Jay,
that
is a good thing.
But what I'm saying is when stuff starts to hit the fan, whose side are you – like, how does that work? When it's not from the top down, whose side do you have alignment with?
So Jay's talking about is a structural issue. How do you explain this one, okay? This is why I think it's a bad job at the moment. The right personality could manage it, make it a great job. I agree with you. Unless you believe AD is never going to play 60 games in a season again, and I don't. I think he will at some point, right? Maybe this year. Then those, you have two superstars, and you can figure out, as you say, the bananas in the ice cream float, right? You got
Can I just interrupt you for one second? Because you said the right personality. So now you're telling me I don't just need to coach on the floor, which is enough within itself. You're telling me I need to be a politician.
No, well,
and
hold
I need
on.
To manage
well,
all
I
these
get
different
to your,
personalities.
I want to get to your point. So Jay is pointing to a structural issue, and this is what it is. Jeannie's besties with Linda Rambis, Kurt Rambis's wife, right? Kurt Rambis does sit in on some of these meetings, right? And has a lot of influence as a result of the relationship with the owner of the team. He, you know, so Isn't that structurally an issue with the Lakers that's going to factor in to any coach's kind of experience and make it a lesser one? It is a kind of a mess that way. Is it not, Key?
If you are the coach and you believe that that is the structure in place and you don't have any say, then yeah. But I don't believe that a coach that Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis trumps a coach in LeBron James on the decision making along with Jeannie Buss.
That's what I mean about the personality, that. Jay. If you had a Pat Riley type who yes, politician, no, a good bedside manner to deal with the owner,
Max,
and also the force of personality,
Max,
to get the team together.
You can't just throw out Pat Riley type. Who's a Pat Riley's one of the greatest coaches
for Pat, they've been looking for Pat Riley's for years.
Who's a Pat Riley type to you?
Well, actually, you brought up a guy who's interesting. Not exactly Pat Riley, but an interesting personality who's shown the ability to run a team pretty well in Utah.
And Quinn Snyder, but yeah. Quinn Snyder just said he's less interested in the job.
I understand. It doesn't mean he wouldn't take the job under certain conditions, right, or circumstances. We don't know. But I think we fail when we start to say, who's it going to be? Because now we're talking about established people that we know. It may be someone we're not thinking about, an assistant somewhere. You know, who knows? But
Jay, why would Quinn Snyder be interested in a job and he has a job? Why would he be interested in a bad Laker job if he has a job? Interested at all, Mr. Williams?
Well, because, look, the Lakers is one of the most pristine franchises in the history of sports.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you that. That's all.
But that's okay. Like, everybody knows that. It doesn't mean it's being ran properly right now. Right? It's like it's a Ferrari that when you open up the hood, you're like, damn, this engine is – it just stinks.
Yeah.
Like, it's not working properly.
Cowboys
have
gone through that.
A lot of money into this engine to make sure I get it right. And the chances doesn't mean you're going to be successful. Right off the bat for a guy.
Cowboys,
like that.
Yankees, Lakers, they've all had periods where they've appeared dysfunctional, and it's been a mess. But the brand is so strong, the market's so big, the fan base so kind of intense that you can turn that around quickly. It doesn't have to be that way forever.
And that's my whole point, though, Max. When I say it's a good job, you got two premier pieces. One of them at 37, getting ready to be 38, don't even look like he's 22. Still playing like he's 19 years old or something. I mean, and then you got Anthony Davis, and I understand, yes, Anthony Davis, street clothes. Yes, we talk about him falling down on the ground, and all of a sudden his pinky hurts. He's done for 4 weeks. I get it. But when he is on that court, he is one of the most premier players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. We cannot run from that. Mm-hmm. We can't run from that. And then in terms of the Westbrook deal, it didn't work out nearly the way that we thought it would when he was brought on board, but it doesn't mean that it won't work. That's it. And I think when you listen to LeBron James and that sound that we heard about the position of Westbrook, the position of himself, the position of Anthony Davis, them only playing 21 games together and not being on the court that much together, that this is the reason that the season was derailed. You have to put that into account.
Russell in Georgia, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Russell.
Good morning, Keyshawn, Jay, and Will. I call to respond to the question, and number one, I can't really believe this is a question. Is the Lakers job a good job? The Lakers job is a premier job. But the only person that I feel like that can walk in and fix the Lakers, if he was available, is Coach K. That's the only person that I feel like has the cachet to solve these issues without people looking over his back.
Oh, my goodness, Russell, I've never thought about that. Oh, my God. I don't want to start. That's germ spreading, Russell. That's germ spreading. I will tell you, LeBron James's relationship with Coach K is pretty incredible and pretty tight. And Coach K, we have some really interesting sound coming up later in the show about him on Bill Belichick. And he talks about Bill Belichick being able to pivot and maintain a culture while adapting to the new personalities, right? But still holding and maintaining that standard of excellence. And one of the moments of Coach K's career in which he was able to pivot was when he did USA Basketball, and he had to coach LeBron James. And LeBron often talks about that relationship, listening to guys like Coach K. You know, I would hear people say that they think LeBron is uncoachable to a degree, and I would disagree with them in that aspect, because I think LeBron can pick up tidbits from people here and there that he applies to his own genius. But I do know one person that he would listen to. That's really interesting, Russell. That would be Coach K. I'm not sure Coach K would come out of retirement for the Lakers job. He turned it down once with Kobe. But that is intriguing, to say the least.
So it has to be someone with gravitas that has LeBron's respect already. And someone who also, if it is a college coach, would need to know. In your experience with Coach KJ, you think what he has done and his ability to adapt would translate to NBA success? Because a lot of times college coaches are used to so much control that when they get to the pros, they find out it's not the same.
No, because his offense is that it's open and he takes in input from a player like LeBron to help mold and build something. The only thing I think would be a major hindrance for him would be the fact that who's running the show? He would need autonomy. He would need the flexibility to say, I'm doing it this way. Here are the decisions I'm making. And by the way, here are the players that I think we need to draft that fit my style in which I want to
play. See, and Key, I think the idea is that style at the moment is not going to fly with the Lakers. That's why I said it takes the right personality to install that system and kind of cut through some of the stuff that's not that way with the franchise right now. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Mako. Need a paint job on your car? When life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako. Go to Mako.com today. Guess who is with us now? Frank Isola, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Frank.
Gentlemen, what's up? Keyshawn, good news. Lakers did not lose 50 games, only 49.
No, let's not start, because then, you know, let's not start with me right now. The season's over.
I'll take
my lumps, and I'm looking forward to the 2022-23 season, sir.
Frank, is it Lakers' job? Is that a premier job, or is that a bad job right now? What would you say?
If LeBron James is going to be there healthy for most of the season, I still think it's a premier job, and he obviously has to have some type of input, because if you have LeBron James on your team, especially at this age, you're going to want to keep him happy. I heard what you guys were saying. I think one of the problems with the Lakers, like a lot of NBA teams have, you know, they have almost like the shadow government in the background. You don't really know who's running it, and you know, everyone is always rushing to take credit, but when there's blame to go around, then all of a sudden everything is Frank Vogel's fault. And we knew that they were going to make a coaching change, but I think, you know, bringing in a coach that LeBron would be happy with, whether that's Doc Rivers. I think a bunch of us have also heard the name Juwan Howard, who has NBA experience, obviously, as an assistant coach. I understand it would be his first NBA head coaching job, but think about the job Ime Udoka has done, being an NBA assistant for a long time. He's done a great job in Boston. So I think Juwan Howard being an outside candidate, but, you know, I think right now, and Vegas kind of agrees, I think right now Doc Rivers is probably the early favorite for that job.
Wait, Frank, we're talking about Doc Rivers?
Thanks a lot for clearing that up for Jay, Frank.
We're talking about Doc Rivers. I mean, the coach, the guy who just became the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers not even a year ago, and got bounced by the Atlanta Hawks.
It does feel, Frank, like Doc is coaching his way out of the Hall of Fame recently. You know, like, it is a curious choice.
I understand what you guys are saying, but I also think it's somebody, A, that LeBron would be okay with. Obviously, you know, he's been around for a long time. The situation in Philadelphia, you guys know this. Daryl Morey is there. They just brought in James Harden. If they were to get bounced, I would think if they don't make it to a conference finals, I think a coaching change would be made there. I also find it interesting that the Lakers are saying they're taking their time in their coaching search. Well, obviously they are, because probably the guy that they want might still be out there. Maybe I did see the report about Nick Nurse. So, you know, maybe their coach that they want to hire is coaching in the playoffs right now, and I certainly think that Doc is one of those guys.
Yeah, I would be okay with Doc, though. I wouldn't have a problem with Doc because you got LeBron James. That's why I wouldn't have a problem with Doc at all. He has shown that he can win in the regular season, and I don't think in the postseason losing 3-1 leads, he's not going to do that with LeBron James.
I think it's
because LeBron's not going to allow that to happen.
That's an interesting point.
I agree with that. I think Doc, you know, some of those situations, he ultimately has to take the fall for some of that because he's the coach. But other things, injuries, players not playing up to the standard. But there's a lot of pressure. You think about pressure going into the playoffs. For a team that right now is a fourth seed, there's a lot of pressure on Doc Rivers, James Harden, Joel Embiid. I mean, James Harden wanted to go to Philadelphia. And if you look at his numbers the last, you know, maybe five or six games, he's not shooting the ball well. Toronto, they should be able to beat Toronto, but Toronto is a well-coached team that was terrific this season. So, yes, there's pressure on a lot of teams going into the playoffs, including the Brooklyn Nets, but Philadelphia's got a ton of pressure on them.
Frank, what are your thoughts on, we had a caller, Russell, come on our show and say that the only person that would have the gravitas to coach the Lakers from like a Pat Riley perspective, would be Coach K. I know Coach K turned down the Laker opportunity back in, I want to say the early, it was mid-2000s, I think, with Kobe. What are your thoughts about that?
If he wanted it, I'm sure the Lakers would probably be interested, but I don't know. Coach K, you would know better than me. I think there is a lot of truth to that, but I also think Doc Rivers would be that coach as well. I mean, when, you know, the famous story about, you know, LeBron being in Miami and he went over to Doc Rivers and said, man, I'd love to have you over there. So I think, you know, LeBron has always respected Doc Rivers a lot. And I think if that's why it's important to have a guy like LeBron sign off on it. I know, like, the average fan, that's ridiculous to have the players do something like that. LeBron's in a different area. I'm not saying it's De'Aaron Fox should be signing off on the coach of the Sacramento Kings. This is LeBron James we're talking about. And if LeBron is going to be all in on the hire, and if it is a guy like Doc Rivers or, to your point, Coach K, that's only going to help your team, because then LeBron is going to take a lot of accountability. He's going to fall in line with what's going on. It's going to be almost more like a partnership. That's why at this stage of his career, as he keeps getting older, I think he has to be more involved, unless you just want to say goodbye to him. That's the choice that your organization has to make. Not every player is created equal. LeBron's a little bit different than just about every guy in the NBA.
I think you're totally right, Frank, on the Doc Rivers situation. There's no question about it. I think when you look at, though, a healthy AD and LeBron James, you got two big pieces that's there. What has the success been for Doc Rivers in his coaching career? He's always had two big pieces. And I think coming back to L.A., having Rob Pelinka, him not having to manage the situation like he was with the Clippers, running the front office, doing those sort of things, where he could just solely be the head coach. And then if in fact, Sam Cassell joins him, Jay, like you mentioned, there's a guy, when Doc Rivers steps away, he slides right into the role as the head coach.
I hear you, Frank. It's just, I was telling Max, it's, if we're talking about, first off, let's see how Philadelphia does in the first round against Toronto, okay?
Yep.
Because not having Matisse Thybulle is going to be a huge loss for them defensively from an ace perspective. But if they lose that series, you're telling me Doc Rivers, who's underachieved the past 2 years, losing to the Hawks and then getting James Harden and then losing to Toronto, will become the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? He would get rewarded for that?
Well,
that's,
you know,
what we're doing,
Max,
Frank? We're doing that, Frank?
Well, Joe Torre, everyone thought he underachieved, and the Yankees hired him. Everyone was outraged, and look at the run that he went on. So things could change pretty quickly. But I also think another issue is it's just what goes on in the Laker front office, because they could have had Tyronn Lue, and then they start, you know, penny-pinching a little bit, and then they want – they're going to try to decide who he's going to hire as their assistant coaches. So they could have had this all figured out a few years ago by just hiring Tyronn Lue, who might be still the most underrated coach in the league. So a lot of it has to do with the front office, and I still think a lot of it has to do with seating control of the team. And I think if I'm Doc Rivers and I was available, I'd want the job because it's LeBron James, but I would also want to make sure that I'm going to have some say over who I'm going to hire on my staff. I'm not the front office gets a little too involved at times, and then when things go awry, it's like the coach, right now you're out, we're staying. That part of it doesn't jive with me.
There does seem to be chaos with the Lakers, and I think, listen, you could say whatever you want about Winning Time, right, on the HBO show on the Lakers, but one thing I thought they captured well in the series so far is the way Jerry Buss, the greatest owner in the history of American team sports, Frank, like by a lot, it was always like about to be a catastrophe, right? Right on the brink of dysfunction, he had a knack of making it work somehow, right? They wind up with Pat Riley, really, because it was such a mess they couldn't get a name, and that really did happen. Jeannie, in certain respects, is a chip off the old block. Being as great as her father as an owner is almost impossible, right? But do you think, Frank, we have about 30 seconds, that Jeannie could get this whole thing together the way her father once did?
I think the jury is still out, because I do think, you know, them winning a championship a couple of years ago, people out in L.A. might not want to hear it, but LeBron had a lot to do with that. He came there, and it was him and Clutch Sports that convinced Anthony Davis to come there. And look at what their record has really been the last 10 years. Their one great moment was the Summer League championship in a bubble, and LeBron had a lot to do with that.
That was a great point, as many great points made by Frank Isola. Great to talk to you, Frank. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. We get into this. We stay with it. LeBron James and the Lakers moving forward, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.